This is PCJ Radio International.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Well, hello everyone. It's nice to have you with us once again. Today we're going to talk about a story that involves the LSE, which is short for the London School of Economics, the Democratic Republic of Korea, and the BBC. Recently, the BBC piggybacked on a tour group of LSE students that went to North Korea in order to work undercover. The LSE is now crying foul and saying the students were not informed about the nature of the trip. The students, on the other hand, are siding with the BBC, saying they were informed about the nature of the trip. Yes, this is a story that has lots of twists and turns, and Keith will be joining us to make some sense of it all. This is Media Network Plus. Next week's show will be produced by the propaganda department of the North Korean government, and your host will be Kim Jong-un. First, here's Keith with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
China's media regulator stepped up controls on news organizations' use of social media, including the barring of retransmission of content from overseas media and websites without permission. The State Administration of Film, Radio, and Television also said that editorial employees must get permission to set up microblogs for work purposes and to release any information they acquire when on duty. That's according to an article that was published this week. The rules also ban the publication of rumors, urge reporters to focus on positive publicity, and prohibit the publication of materials from freelance writers, civil society groups, and commercial organizations without approvals, it said. China is the world's largest internet market by users. Censors and social media comments critical of the ruling party are often removed. The FBI scolded several news outlets on Wednesday for mistakenly reporting that an arrest had been made in the Boston Marathon bombings and warned that such unverified reporting could have consequences for its investigation. Numerous organizations, including the Associated Press, the Boston Globe, and several local Boston television stations, erroneously reported Wednesday afternoon that an arrest had been made, or that a suspect was in custody, citing an unnamed law enforcement source. The European Commission has cleared the takeover of Virgin Media by Liberty Global. U.S. media company Liberty Global announced its plans to take over Virgin Media in February, offering $23.3 billion in cash and stock deals. The purchase will bring together the UK's third largest broadband company with Europe's largest cable company operating across 10 EU member states. According to Liberty Global, the merged company will cover 25 million broadband customers in 47 million homes and will target future growth in B2B and mobile offerings. The commission was looking into whether or not there would be competition concerns around the pay TV market. Virgin Media is the UK's second largest player behind Sky. A&E Networks UK, the joint venture between A&E Networks and B Sky B, has named Caroline Casey in the new role of Director of Digital Media. Casey will be responsible for the management of all digital assets and associated brands of A&E across the UK, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Sub-Sahara Africa. She will be charged with creating and developing an integrated digital media strategy across online, mobile, connected TV, and social media for the company's four channel brands, History, H2, Crime and Investigation, and Bio. Before joining A&E Networks UK, Casey was the founder and CEO of a strategic consultancy company, CC Digital Limited, where she advised companies on digital strategy and trends. Previously, she worked at Turner Broadcasting joint venture, Turnout Ventures, as an executive director, developing new and emerging online businesses at the Turner Broadcasting as EMEA director of digital development across all Turner Entertainment brand websites and digital products. And with that, we've come to the end of this look at some of the media headlines for the past week. To find out more, we invite you to check out our website, pcjmedia.com, and you'll find a link to Kim Andrew Elliott at the bottom of the page.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Tonight, inside the world's most secretive nation, North Korea's Supreme Commander Kim Jong-un is threatening thermonuclear war against the United States. With tensions escalating, Panorama spends 8 days undercover inside the...
Panorama has been on the BBC since 1953. And since that time, the show has created a reputation for producing some award-winning documentaries. All this time, Panorama has not shied away from criticism. Just before Euro 2012, Panorama was blasted for its documentary on racism in Ukraine. In 2006, Panorama was blasted for a program that looked at sex crimes in the Vatican, as well as mental and physical abuse in hospitals in the UK and many other important topics. This past Monday, they aired a program called North Korea Undercover. It was hosted by Panorama reporter John Sweeney, who joined a tour group made up of students from the London School of Economics who were visiting the secretive country. 24 hours before the program was to air on BBC One, the LSE demanded the BBC shelve the program and started a very public attack against the BBC for the methods used to gain access to North Korea. This is a story Keith has been following all week. He now joins us to put more perspective on what has transpired.
Last Sunday, the day before BBC Panoramas was going to air a program that they did called North Korea Undercover, the London School of Economics came out accusing the BBC of not informing the students of their true plan to have a journalist sent on the trip. Now, let me explain this first. The London School of Economics is a well-known university in the United Kingdom. Some students who actually go to the LSE decided to organize a trip to North Korea. This trip had nothing to do with the London School of Economics. It's sort of like, you say, members of the student union who said, oh, we're going to hold, go off to the DPRK. So the London School of Economics was not involved in this trip at all. The trip was organized by the wife of BBC journalist John Sweeney and the Korean Friendship Association. The Korean Friendship Association is, you can say, directly linked to the North Korean government. They're sort of like they're a tourism organization. So this trip was organized, and the students were told, look, a BBC journalist would be going with you. Do you have a problem with that? And they said no. In fact, they even sat down with the BBC and the journalist saying that, this is what they want to do when they go to North Korea. So the students were informed right from the beginning that a BBC journalist would be going along with them. The LSE comes out and says, oh, they were never informed of the true nature. The BBC was using these students as human shields, which is totally, totally incorrect, because the students were informed that because there's a journalist going with you, there are risks involved. We're talking about a country here, North Korea, that does not allow foreign journalists in. Even people that go in as tourists have to have a minder with them. So it was a way for the BBC to actually get in. I mean, especially right now, because North Korea is a hot topic in the news. They were told in London, they spoke to all the students twice before going to North Korea when they were at Beijing, in the Beijing airport. John Sweeney and his camera and John Sweeney's wife were there, and they got on the plane, they went to North Korea, they came back after 8 days, did the documentary, and then all of a sudden, the day before this program was going to air, the LSE saying it was unethical, etc., etc., etc. Now, one thing, Paulette, I need to point out. While it's true, yes, John Sweeney did lie about his credentials. He lied about his credentials to the North Koreans, because if he put down BBC journalist, he never would have gotten in. That is likely. Exactly. That is a pure fact. And what he did is not new. This is something, I mean, going back to the 1950s, a number, well, not too often, but there were some journalists from Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, that went into the Soviet Union and other Eastern Bloc countries and went with organizations that they knew just to be able to get in, to get a story, and then head out. Now, in 2007, I was asked to accompany one journalist in particular, to Burma. Now, Burma is another area where journalists are just not welcome, especially at the time. Things in Burma have changed now. So we decided to piggyback on a cultural organization that was going in to get the story. And we told them, you know, we want to join the group, and we told them exactly the reasons why. So this is not new. It's not, of course, the ideal practice. You don't have to do this if you're going into, let's say, Mexico or Argentina. But we're talking about North Korea here, and this is really the only way to get in. Now, it would have been unethical, let's say, if the BBC had not informed the students what they were planning to do. But they did. But for some reason, the LSE came out saying something totally different. This is what Sir Peter Sutherland, who is the chair of governors at the LSE, had to say.
They most certainly didn't have enough information to make an informed decision. They were not told the full nature of what was happening, that this was, in effect, an hour-long investigative journalist filming which was going to take place. So they were going into North Korea without full knowledge and therefore potentially finding themselves in a situation of great danger and risk in an unpredictable environment, an unpredictable state, and one that is considered by many to be a dangerous state. The reality is that full and informed consent was never given by the students to the trip that actually took place. They did not know that they were part of a covert action to run a serious, long, hour-long program, I understand, on BBC with covert filming of what was happening. Well, you would think if the BBC was doing a risk assessment that the students themselves, and indeed their parents, some of whom now object to the whole programme, might also have been given the opportunity to assess the risk. They were not, because they were not given, on the admission of the BBC, full information as to what was about to happen. The identity of the students would have been readily obtainable and would have been known in due course. The application to go to North Korea, to the North Koreans, was in the name of LSE. It would undoubtedly have come to light that LSE was involved, and it's utterly naive and disingenuous to suggest that LSE are responsible, or the students themselves for that matter, for the fact that this is now in the public domain.
Well, Paulette, that was Sir Peter Sutherland, chair of governors at the LSE. So they came out with this on Sunday, and all of a sudden, the BBC was in a position of, wait a second, you're asking us to cancel this program, and you're saying things that are totally foreign to us, because we had informed the students, and we told them what we were going to do. And this is Siri Thomas, the head of BBC News, and his response to the London School of Economics.
Key thing for us was, could we give these students, remember these are mostly in their 20s to late 20s, could we give them enough information to give their informed consent to a decision about whether they were prepared to go on a trip to North Korea accompanied by a journalist? The thing that the North Koreans look out for is journalists. They don't distinguish particularly between a Panorama journalist or an ITV journalist. The students needed to know the risks they were running if they were caught with a journalist, and we told them what those risks were. We told them that they could be arrested, they could be detained, they could be deported. We made that very clear to them, twice in London before they left here, and once in Beijing on the way into North Korea. This was a trip that took place last year, organised by the same person who organised it this year, who happens, yes, to be married to a BBC journalist. Would have happened without the BBC being involved. It would have happened if the BBC had pulled out. This was a trip that was going to happen anyway, that the BBC piggybacked on. It was up to these students as adults to assess the risk themselves and up to us as an organisation to make sure that they had the information to do that, and I'm totally satisfied that we did. They knew that they were being accompanied by a journalist, and that was the material fact that they needed to know in order to make up their minds whether this was a risk they were prepared to take. As they got closer to North Korea, we told them exactly what the makeup of the BBC crew was, but the key thing was from the very beginning, before they'd handed over any money, before they'd signed up to this trip, they had been told the nature of the fact that there was a journalist going along with them. There's absolutely no evidence that we were risking the lives of these students. Had we had any kind of assessment that said we were putting their lives at risk, we would have done something very different. We would have pulled out of the trip, I'm sure. Our assessment was that the most likely outcome, were it discovered that there was a journalist on the trip, was that these students might be deported. The risk, I think, lay primarily with the BBC crew, and we wanted to keep it that way. We wanted to make sure that the students knew enough to make up their minds about whether they wanted to take the risk, the added risk of having a journalist on board with them, but they weren't part of the deception of the North Korean government, which was our responsibility. The LSE wasn't involved in this trip. This society is separate from the LSE. It's autonomous and independent. So the LSE were not in the fray. We didn't deceive the LSE. We didn't involve them because they weren't actually involved in the pulling together of this trip. We made a very thorough risk assessment. We conveyed that to the students who were actually going on the trip, and I think that's the appropriate and right way for us to have done it. The thing we've got to hold on to here is there is an overwhelming public interest case in seeing at this moment what's going on inside North Korea. The temperature in that region is extraordinarily high. We hardly ever get a glimpse inside this country. And for us to see now what the atmosphere is like, what the mood is like on the streets, is a very, very powerful piece of public interest journalism. I'm very glad that we've done that. So yes, actually, I think we made the right decisions, we gave the right level of information, and I'm happy with where we are.
That was Siri Thomas, the head of programs for BBC News, with his response to the chair of governors for the London School of Economics, Sir Peter Sutherland. So it's sort of like at the beginning, it began as a, you know, he said, she said kind of scenario.
Well, that's exactly what it amounts to. Maybe that's by design. Maybe that's exactly what they want. But who would want that and why?
Well, you know, nobody knows. Some people have speculated maybe Panorama at some point in the past did a program about the London School of Economics that they just didn't like. Now, let's move forward.
They hold a grudge that long.
Well, I mean, it's politics. You know, that's the way things are. But let's move ahead right. 2 days to Wednesday. Now, 2 days after BBC Panorama broadcast this documentary, which I should mention, rather, I've seen, and there's really nothing new in it, but it's the fact that they got in, and they're still showing North Korea for what it is, and it's a good way to remind people of the odd nature of this place. There were 10 students that went on this trip. There were three that all of a sudden said that they weren't informed, but the rest of them, the six of them, are saying that they were informed. Now, six students sent an open letter to the London School of Economics because they said, because the LSE decided to complain publicly about this, that it put them in a more uncomfortable position than they originally were.
By uncomfortable, do you mean more dangerous?
More at risk.
Wow.
In the open letter to the LSE director, Craig Clayhorn, and the chairman, Sir Peter Sutherland, the students said, "We feel we have now been put at more risk than was originally the case as a result of the LSE decision to go public with their story." They also went on to say, "When the story broke to the international media in response to a complaint about the trip, none of us were consulted by the LSE or their representatives for our accounts. Some of us have still not been consulted. We therefore are compelled to establish the basic facts of the case, many of which have been distorted in the media in this joint statement." So, you know, this is where it gets into a funny position, because the LSE, who I say again, had nothing to do with this trip, comes out defending these students. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves here, these are not kids. They're not, you know, 15, 14 years old. They're all, you know, between 20 and 30. They're adults. They made a conscious decision with the information that was given to them by the BBC. Now, of course,
and
an informed decision. Now, we have to remember, Paulette, in this kind of situation where you're doing this kind of undercover work with a country like North Korea, sure, there are things that the BBC didn't tell them. And not telling them certain aspects of the intention for the reporters to go there is a wise thing. Because you have to think, the BBC is thinking, okay, we're not going to tell them this because if, for example, the game is up and we are caught, when they say they don't know anything, they really don't know anything. So they were given enough information to make a conscious decision whether or not to continue with the trip. Now, these six students have come in support of the documentary and have come in support of the BBC for what, you know, for the way this was handled. But for some reason, the LSE has come out, said something completely in opposition to the BBC, completely in opposition to what the students agreed to. And, you know, this is where it goes into now a real humorous area, because Panorama has, as you mentioned, has been on the air for years. Mm-hmm. Now, if the LSC had not said anything, this program would have gone to air, and that's it. The audience would have watched it, and next week there'd be another episode. But because the LSC came out Sunday and Monday going on about this, the audience share for Panorama jumped to 69%. They had 5.4 million viewers that night for that program. So put it this way, if I was a BBC producer, I would say, hey, thank you guys for the promotion.
Yeah, can you do it again?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Wow. Well, you know what, Keith? What I find just astounding is we've got two contradictory accounts here. The BBC is saying we informed the students, and many of the students are saying yes, they did. On the other side, you've got Sir Peter from the London School of Economics saying they weren't informed, and three students that say they were maybe a little uncomfortable or don't remember or whatever being informed. Now, there's no common ground here. There's no middle ground.
Well, I think there is. I mean, look, you know, as soon as the students came out in support of the BBC, the London School of Economics has kept quiet. And, you know, different media organizations have tried contacting them saying, well, wait a second, six students here came in support of the BBC saying they were informed about everything. Do you have a comment about what you said before? And do you have anything to say now because of what they said? And the London School of Economics is just saying, oh, no. You know,
no comment.
Yeah,
damage control.
I mean, it's sort of like they were caught in the situation because they didn't inform the students that they were going to go public with this. Now, the other thing that's kind of amusing, I mean, everybody's heard the rhetoric that comes out of North Korea, mm-hmm. especially over the past couple of weeks, saying they're going to bomb South Korea, etc., etc., etc. Now, some of the students said that they got some threats from Pyongyang diplomats in North Korea. Now, we have to understand here, everything that North Korea says is just that. It's just saying stuff. They're not, first of all, they're not going to bomb South Korea because they know that if they do, first of all, they're not going to win, and they know that's going to be the end of the regime. So all the stuff that they say is just it's their usual stuff that they've been saying since 1953.
When
the same rattling, you know. And again, the threats only started coming after the London School of Economics went public with this.
So everybody wants to get in the limelight.
Yeah, you know, the North Koreans do because they love the publicity for themselves, you know. But again, you know, it's just kind of odd here because the London School of Economics was not involved in organizing this trip. They did not pay for it. The students themselves paid for the trip out of their own pockets, £2,000 each to go.
Well, Keith, you know what's really odd is, for one thing, you say that London School of Economics was not involved. So why did they take it upon themselves to speak on behalf of students who are, as you pointed out, adults, and without letting them know, without consulting them and asking them for their version of events? It's assuming going, just taking it upon themselves, saying, oh, they weren't informed, without checking their facts. This is like a prestigious school of business. That is something you do. That's the basics that you do, especially when you're dealing with the media, is you've got to get your facts straight first. What kind of a message is that sending to the competence of this or of this institution,
well, you know,
for one thing?
Some people are saying it's probably down just to arrogance.
But yeah,
you know,
but
and the thing is, you want to know something, Paulette? Look, if I was one of these students, I would feel insulted that they're talking about
kidding.
Me like I'm a teenager and I can't make up my own mind that I'm 25 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm interested in hearing that what transpires as well, and I'm sure our listeners will be interested as well. So thanks very much for this report, Keith, and I look forward to the next episode. Now, what can we expect with propagation in the next 7 days? To let us know, here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
On April 20th and 21st, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 100, up to 105 on April 22nd, April 23rd, 110, April 24th and 25th, 105, April 26th, back up to 110. The A index is 5 for the first 3 days of this week. That's April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. On April 23rd, we'll see a spike in the A index at 12, down to 8 on April 24th, spiking at 18 on April 25th. On April 26th, we'll see an A index of 15. The KP index is 2 for the first 3 days of this week. That's April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. April 23rd, a KP index of 4. April 24th, a KP index of 3. And then back up to 4 on April 25th and 26th. Three sunspots are passing out of view this week. They are 17, 19, 21, and 22. Two sunspots are in view, 17, 23, and 24. Sunspot AR1723 has a beta gamma magnetic field that harbors energy for M-class solar flares. The high A index this week, particularly from April 23rd to the 26th, combined with the moderately high KP index, will mean increased D-layer absorption and will result in poor propagation and a reasonable possibility of some geomagnetic solar storms. Solar wind flowing from a coronal hole on the sun's north-central region could reach Earth on April 21st or 22nd.
And with that, we've come to the end of another program. But before we end off, we'd like to remind you about this week's radiogram from PCJ. The time is 0227 UTC on 9955 kilohertz. The setting is Olivia OL 8-1000. That's Oscar Lima India Victor India Alpha, Oscar Lima 8-1000. For the free software to decode this radiogram, go to www.w1hkj.com. If you'd like to hear this program again or listen to other past editions of Media Network Plus, just go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, and you'll find the links to podcasts there. If you'd like to drop us a line, and we hope you do, just send us an email to mnp@pcjmedia.com, and that stands, of course, for Media Network Plus. So again, that email is mnp@pcjmedia.com. So on behalf of Keith Perron and Dan Hensley, this is Paulette McQuarrie saying so long and see you soon.